This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, you're listening to episode 3 of Queercast, Singapore's only LGBT podcast, bringing you the voices from the local queer community and beyond.
Gentlemen, you're listening to another episode of Queercast, Singapore's most juiciest, sexiest podcast. And today we have with us a very talented, very tantalizing person in the room. As always, I'm Nick D.
Ian Lee.
And of course, we have today Joelle Tan. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I feel so welcome.
Exactly. Yes. You've got grapes and coffee.
Papaya.
Favorite food. I thought I'd lay out some food, you know, in case we want to eat our feelings. We ought to be healthy while we're at it.
I ought to be a cheese platter.
Exactly. Well, I guess so. It would be complimenting, darling. So, Joelle, you know, I mean, you're pretty well known in Singapore already. I mean, like, as a playwright, basically, you know. But if you were sort of an art piece, how would you describe yourself?
This is not on the list. This is not on the list of questions.
Not prepared. But you're such a creative person, you should be able to think on the fly, you know.
If I were a piece of art,
yes,
what would I look like?
Exactly. Would you be a sculpture? Would you be a painting? What would the caption say?
I would want to be an installation art piece.
Installation.
Right? And you would have to walk into me to experience
a walk
it.
In. Yeah. Okay.
And like, it'd be kind of like Yayoi Kusama ripoff. The walls be covered in polka dots. Because she doesn't, I don't think you own, nobody has any intellectual property on polka dots, right? So I just want to be colourful polka dots everywhere.
What colour would those polka dots be?
Not pink. Yellow and black.
Yellow and black. She totally doesn't own those colours.
No, she does not own any of those colours.
So would it be a ticketed event or?
No, I think it would be a free walk-in.
It
would be a public art installation.
Okay. I like free walk-in. Yeah. It matches your personality.
Walk-in.
Exactly.
So basically, like, the primary school kids can come up in a bus and they can take the
family-friendly.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Does the installation require one person or can multiple persons go through it?
I don't know, actually. I think the more the merrier. And then, like, you start, you know, we could play music and everything. Oh. Dance would be a
group play, I love it.
Yeah,
all about group play.
This whole thing's been innuendo.
Oh, shut up.
Oh my God.
It's okay. It's whatever innocence was left over from your JC days. It's surfacing again. It's surfacing by it.
Oh God.
Like a clogged drain.
No, I was actually very innocent in my JC days.
Oh.
I used to go to church.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Good church going boy.
And you used to listen to our show. Did we corrupt you then? Is this what happened?
No, it was kind of like, oh, this is what the other side holds.
Oh.
Do I really want to go there? But they are so tantalizing.
Like,
they sound so sexy. It was such a moment for me. I'm so glad to be on this show.
Oh my God.
Would you ever imagine 10 years ago you'd be on the podcast that you would listen?
No, why? Because I remember people like Bo Jun Feng would be on it. And right. Oh my God, he's so cute.
He is.
Oh, he's so talented. And role model.
And but you've really blossomed as well now. Exactly, girl.
You have unfurled.
Exactly. What have you been up to these days? Tell us.
Like in the theatre?
Yeah.
Theatre.
Well, I just wrote the lyrics to a musical that's going to open next week on the 13th of April called Tropicana. Which is set in a real life former nightclub that was very big in the 60s and famous for having like a topless review. So it was Singapore's first topless review, and the book was written by Haresh Sharma and music by Julian Wong, and it opens on the 13th of April.
So you wrote the lyrics for that?
I only wrote the lyrics to that.
Did you have to get topless to be inspired?
Yes, because like I touched myself.
Oh my God. Wow. Such method acting.
Yeah, you know, you've got to be an actor to get into the lyrics.
I see. Alright, I've got tickets to that, so I'm definitely looking forward to it.
When are you going?
I don't negotiate with the husband. He does well the scheduling.
Oh, you're one of those couples.
Exactly. There was this one incident whereby like I like you know me, right? I'm like so super sociable. I just say yes to it. Oh, of course I'll come. So of course I come. Then it's like, then Darling said, no, you can't.
No. He said yes to three other people.
Exactly. He said three, yes to three other. He gets like very frustrated.
Two of them are paying gigs.
Exactly. And then he gets very frustrated when he's like being shuffled from one end of the island to the other. You know what I mean? So I always, from now on, the rule is, let me just check. Yeah. Let me just get back to you. Yeah.
I have a couple organizers.
Exactly. Yes. Couple. What else are you doing?
Oh, and then in May, mm-hmm. on the 19th, a play I wrote called Tango opens, mm-hmm. In production by Pandemonium. So it's a gay, sexy gay play.
It's a sexy gay play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's about this gay couple, one of whom is Singaporean, mm-hmm. and the other one Brit, who are moving back from the UK with their adopted son to Singapore, mm-hmm. to care for the Singapore guy's ailing father. And here they encounter something kind of nasty in a Singapore restaurant, which blows up into this nationwide controversy that strings along a whole cast of characters, and it's going to be quite interesting.
Lovely.
Okay, so now you need to plug. Where can we get tickets to these fabulous shows?
Okay, we can get tickets for both of these shows on Sistic.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just Google, just search for Tropicana, the musical, mm-hmm. and Tango.
Yes. Lovely. Well, if you are looking for a sexy, tantalizing time, mm-hmm. Definitely check out those shows. And so, you being such a prolific writer, you've written on various subjects, and I really enjoy, reading your writing, because it's insightful and yet honest and painful at the same time.
Yes, honest and painful. Honest and painful.
Honestly, it's a good word. Exactly. Maybe that's the insight. It's painful.
Yeah, it's painful. That's all you need to know. This guy is very unhappy.
But in a way that makes us feel slightly less lonely.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do. Just provide some companionship for sad lonely people.
Exactly. The unagony of the lost. So
yeah, the people I didn't have growing up. That's what this like. So I think I'm talking about my essays, right? So I do a lot of writing about a range of issues, and I just feel like growing up, I didn't have anybody to look to talk to about these things, about relationships, about my body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like I want to be that person for somebody.
Yeah. So speaking of your body, the body artist.
So much of it.
Speaking of your body, right? How would you describe your relationship with your body?
Maybe I should describe my body first.
Okay.
I'm quite big. Yes. Yeah. And I've always been big. I'm sorry to disappoint listeners.
But he had such a thin voice.
He sounded so hot.
Exactly. He sounded so
thin. What do you mean? Don't
worry, honey. You have a body for radio.
I have a body. I can do things with my voice.
Exactly.
What's my relationship with my body? It's like, It's an up and down thing, I think, like with most people. Like there used to be a time when I was younger where I really, really hated my body, but I guess I've been fat since I was a kid. And when I was beginning to become sexual, around JC, when I was listening to you guys for the first time, and I realized that like all the other gay boys in school were hooking up with each other, but they were all like thin or muscly. Because that's when it started for some people. And then I realized, nobody's looking at me. And I just felt, oh my god, I just don't, I feel like I couldn't act on my impulses, my desires, and I knew then that it had something to do with my body. So I began to really hate it. And then, I didn't know what to do about it, or I didn't want to do anything about it, because at the same time I was also kind of like, yeah, but I'm fat, I'm proud of it, So it's that kind of weird schizophrenic thing where you're proud of it because since you've been a kid, you get so much shit for being fat. And like when you when you realize that you've been a victim of it for so long, you just kind of want to own it. But then at the same time, it's also this thing that's holding you back. So it's kind of, it started out like that, and I've had a few like weight loss phases over the years. And then now that I'm like turning 30 this year, I realize actually I'm just a lot more chill about my body. It's like, it's what it is.
Yeah.
And I actually quite like it, the shape of it. Like, it's, it's not something I hate anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, alright, so Nick,
on that note,
Nick knows that even though I joke about the fact that like, oh, I got body issues and all that, I mean, sometimes it's just like half ha ha, half like, oh my god, I want to go get a drink, and the one thing that I'm always constantly complaining about is like, there's a certain gay portal which I remain anonymous, But I mean, like, on one hand, I'm so glad that we're seeing more diverse voices out there. We're seeing like stories about people coming out, and it's great because, you know, for someone who's young, who's coming out for the first time, you know, they're reading all these articles like, oh look, you know, here's my story. Unfortunately, it tends to always be the same cisgendered Chinese boy who happened to have six pack. It's so sad, you know. Such a struggle being gay and having a six pack, you know. Such a struggle.
Well, that's
I feel so poor thing for them.
It's this thing I want to be careful about in my own life, right? Which is that I think everybody has their own body project. They should be free to pursue whatever they want with their body. I think what you're pointing out is true though, which is that like largely the optics of the gay community is dominated by these kinds of bodies, right? And then growing up in that kind of environment, it does do things to you, especially if you're fat or you're super skinny. There's this like pressure to really just conform, because it's like it's kind of like a gateway to sex in a way, right? You see it on your porn, and then you think that's the only kind of like body that deserves sex, and then in a way it becomes a way that a lot of young gay guys I knew growing up like all opted to. Like when they realized that they were gay and wanted to have sex with other men, that's one of the first few things they did. They would go to the gym and work on their bodies, and it becomes a kind of like gateway. Yeah, I think that's maybe the slightly unhealthy part. It's like, sure, I mean, I think if you have a hot body and you're rocking it and you're well adjusted and you're sane and maybe not sane but well adjusted and you're not like an asshole about it, sure, do what you want, right? But I think we do need to wonder why is it that everybody looks that way.
I mean, having said that, right, you know, I feel that, you know, we were sort of talking about the same point 10 years ago, but I think that it's true. I mean, but at that time it was more sort of like the Lily Twink image that was very in vogue.
The Lily Twink.
Yes, the Lily Twink image was very in vogue.
The Lily Twink image.
So it was sort of like the very sort of slender sort of image that was, you know, it's sort of like the Japanese porn kind of arenas, arena, swimming trunks,
right?
Very tan kind of situation.
It's like a sporty boss, but without like the big muscles.
Yes. But it was during that point where also there was sort of the emergence of a bear community in Singapore, and the bear community has really grown. And right now, these days, there's bear everything. I mean, like there's Growler and Scruff, which are the equivalents of Grindr and Jack. There are bear pool parties. There are bear strippers. You know what I mean? So, but has in that sense, you know, the language of what, or the definition of what is a gay body expanded?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. There's always existed all these kinds of like diverse bodies, right? But the thing about the bare body that I don't know how comfortable I am with it, because like people say like, oh, you're a bear, Joel. It's like, no, I'm not. I don't identify with that, even though I am big. And I think there's something about the way a kind of typical stereotypical bear styles his fat body that it doesn't sit with me. It's like,
what is that style?
It's a kind of like manly hirsute quality to it. It's like it's fat, but it's also like got exercise one. Got muscle.
It's not just
fat that you can leave on its own. You know, it's got to be treated with hair.
Right.
And
so it's not like
it's not just
Arnold's chicken and McDonald's.
No. It's the thing. I think the problem is that like there's something about fat that like in my head quotes as soft and feminine, and that I think for perhaps some of those reasons gay men find very unattractive. But so like even in a big bear body, and this is not true of all bears, but like of the kind of bears you think about when you get bear, there's a kind of, you know, there's a muscularity to it. Even if it's not lean or slim, there's a muscularity and sportiness to it, and an athleticism to it that I, and a masculinity to it that I find kind of like problematic.
But then the chup then also occupies a space within that bear spectrum, right? You know what I mean?
But maybe, I don't know. I don't know how popular chups are.
Maybe that's what you should. So I should invite you to the next bear pool party.
Yeah, I should.
I know, exactly. And then you can just sort of wade around in you know, people's collective anxieties, basically, and observe.
I might even be too skinny for some.
Oh, heavens!
That's what I've been told. You know, it's like, no lah, you're not that fat, but you're not like, you know, it's like, what the hell? And this is the thing that frustrates me. Like, why is it that we gay men have to define themselves into sub communities? Like defined by their bodies, you know. I mean, I get it, I guess, and I guess that there's a history to it. I just don't.
So what is behind that obsession of our bodies?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I've not done enough research to figure it out. But I think it. I don't know. Maybe we could talk about that. Like, why do we define ourselves according, like, literally define ourselves into, like, not just the shape of our bodies, but the amount of hair we have on it. Like,
Yeah. And it's interesting. Like especially the whole bear community. It's not just like, okay, here's a bunch of people who have the same body types. They get together, but they adopt like mannerisms. There's a uniform. There's a culture. It's like you see someone's like, yep, that's a bear. That's a bear. And there's like a sort of like a G-man type of. There's like even subspecies. Like, oh, that's a more Japanese-ish looking.
The Japanese one is called G-Man.
Yeah, G-Man, yeah. Yep, that's right. Mm. And then you see the ones from Taiwan, you're like, oh, that's looks a bit more Taiwan bear versus a Japanese bear versus
so what kind of bear are you? Bear.
Well, do I identify as a bear?
And that's the thing. It's like someone actually came and was like, oh, you're looking more bearish. I'm like, that's a thing? I look more bearish.
So people say bearish when you're just big.
Yeah.
Big. I grow up
my is that bear. A polite word for big?
Yeah. Is that I like big.
Yeah,
I like, you know, actually I think like I don't mind being called fat because it's a factual adjective. You should be less afraid of it. It's like you're fat, it's like you're slim. Like, thank you.
Water is wet.
Yes. Less trade adjective. Call me slob.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was thinking a lot about this when I was in uni because I did a bunch of like classes on gay life. And I don't know, I think it has to do with like certain kinds of gay histories in different countries and the way. I mean, some people talk about the muscle body as a reaction to like the emaciation of HIV/AIDS, right? And that's something I can understand and get behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not too big on the details of how like gay or leather subculture, the bear or leather subcultures came about. Yeah. Which is like in its current form, I just find it kind of like, no, I don't identify that way. Stop calling me a bear. It's like, I don't adopt the look. I don't adopt the uniform. I just wish you would not describe my body in a way that is other to my body. No.
So how would you describe your body then?
Just fat.
Just fat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Large.
Large.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the stocky?
Stocky.
Stocky.
Stocky. I've seen that.
You know, like on the apps, right? There is no option for fat. Like,
it's average.
Average. Okay. On like the one I'm on, which is Scruff, right? There's average. Something like gym fit or whatever. Muscle. Twink, which is a body type. I don't understand that. And then there's large. So I put large before and people come up to me and say, ooh, show it to me. I was like, no. You know, I'm fat.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh.
So,
yeah.
Bye.
Ghost.
Oh,
gone.
Yeah, gone.
Ghosted.
Yeah. So I was actually Becca the Bird.
Yes, Eugene's my good friend.
Yes, Eugene, yeah. So I mean she was posting about like the whole like slightly off topic, but she was posting about like before drag race and like how they're sort of like the gold standard and like, you know, people should
standard for drag.
Gold standard for drag.
Mm.
But I mean in the same way, I think that a lot of labels that we put on ourselves, like, you know, oh, I'm a twink, I'm a bear, yada yada yada.
Mm.
When you're younger, it's empowering because you're like, I belong to a tribe, I belong to a group of people now, you know? But I think at some point, collectively and individually, we need to grow beyond those labels and actually discover who we are as people versus who we are as members of this X tribe or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, I also want to be respectful of the fact that a lot of these kinds of identifications may have to do with certain kinds of sexual practices and sexual preferences. And I think we need to, like, there's a part that we don't talk a lot about in gay life, right, which is that a lot of what is queer is really the way it's a whole bunch of deviant sex practices, right? BDSM, like all kinds of sexual practices, and maybe there's something about these communities and maybe there's a kind of sexual practice built into that is what draws people to it, and we should be respectful of the fact that some people attach their bodies to some kinds of sexual practices, you know, like leather subcultures or maybe chub chasers, you know.
I mean, I can definitely see the chub chaser parallel and relation, but I think the leather scene is more diverse in that sense.
Yeah,
it's more of a mindset rather than, you know, being attributed to a specific body type.
That's true.
In that sense.
No, I guess what I was trying to say is that I think there is some importance in maintaining these subcultures because it's a kind of different way of organizing a community than in the straight world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you do create and find your own tribes and you find yourself according to your bodies, and that's something that maybe you don't see in mainstream society, and maybe that is something that is kind of unique to queer, like gay male society, and that, I mean, and that's something that I see. So something I want to be kind of mindful of and respectful of, even though I don't necessarily fit within any of those subcultures. But I think for some, if it gives you joy, you know,
right. All for it.
Yeah,
all for it.
All for it.
So, but have you, you know, while being on the apps, you know, assumed a specific role basically in order to, you know, advance conversations?
No, I just try and do the 21st century thing, Nicholas. I'm just trying to be myself.
Alright. Does that work? Does that honestly work?
And that's the frustrating thing. Like, I try and be myself, which is like offbeat, self-deprecating, and smart, right? But it turns people off.
Girl, you're on Scruff. They're not. Let's face it. People are there to have like a discussion.
No, I'm not there to have a discussion. I want to get fucked. I'm just like, you know, it's like, hey. It's just like, you know, there's a kind of like prelude to it that can be fun and sexy, but for some reason it turns people off. Like, I tried the whole economical thing and it worked, but it's just not fun for me.
What was the economical thing? Tell me. Like, hey, you up?
Like, stats, like, pick. Wanna come over? It works, but I just don't enjoy it as much. Yeah.
Maybe you should make it a challenge. Like, try to hook up with as minimal words as possible, or even without using any words at all.
Right. Oh, that's a good one.
Ooh, yeah.
Just how that works. You send your picture and then you send your location on a map.
Yeah. Then
question mark.
Yeah. And maybe exclamation mark. Maybe you're feeling risky. A tarot bag.
Right. You can cheat by photoshopping your address into the map.
Oh.
God, it's another level of charades here.
Exactly. No, like, I've given up. like these apps have just destroyed my sex drive. This is so much work. Yeah.
So then, having said that, then why don't you go to the bathhouse then?
Oh, I don't know. Like, to be frank, right, it kind of freaks me out. Even now when I say that I'm comfortable in my body and everything, it's not completely true. Like, I have a lot of anxiety about appearing naked in front of other people. And that's something that I've not been able to work myself up towards.
Okay.
In my life. Everybody says that, go to the bathhouse, but there's just something about that gets in the way for me. Because can you imagine being rejected in a bathhouse?
Shut up! Rejected in real life?
No, like, you're rejected in a place where people collectively agree to go and have random anonymous sex in the dark. And like, so it's just this big looming fear of like, oh my god, what if I go to this place, which, you know, everybody seems to tell me it's like some kind of last resort, right? And I still don't get what I want.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I mean, I know this is just silly, I'm just not brave enough right
now. No, not true. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I think that, yes, you know, the bathhouse, you know, etiquette, so to speak, you know, the bathhouse in that sense is its own universe and its own set of rules, you know what I mean? But the darkness in that sense also hides more than just your body form. The darkness in that sense hides a lot of other things.
True.
You know,
so
what
it
I
might
mean?
Be quite liberating for yourself.
Exactly.
I should give it a go.
Yeah.
Except for me, like, a lot of the, right, this is so old fashioned, right? But just a lot of like the foreplay for me is verbal. Does that make sense?
No, oh my god.
No.
What? What? What did you just say? You want
like
verbal foreplay?
No, like a lot of.
In the age of Twitter?
Shut up! I get turned on by being in a meeting and talking.
Okay. So. I totally get where you're coming from. Like, you know, you watch like the hottest porns are those that have a little bit of plot before.
No,
I'm here to fix your points.
Do you
have a claw tree?
let me get in on it.
Up to the elbow.
What I'm saying is that, like, I don't know. I actually don't know if I would enjoy it and like all the anonymity so much, because like I like being able to have sex with somebody that I like.
So basically, someone has to fuck your mind before they fuck your butt.
No nah. It's like, you know, it doesn't have. It's not like I'm gonna become boyfriends or anything. It's just like,
right.
I like to know who you are and and you know, feel comfortable with you. Like, because there's so much. Like, there's so much anxiety. I've had so much anxiety about my body that I have a lot of trust issues. You know what I mean? It's just like, I can't. It takes a lot for me to. It takes a lot for me to let go with somebody else.
So, are you dating right now? Are you seeing anybody?
Oh, yeah, I have a boyfriend. He's in London.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been together 4 years now.
Oh, okay.
We're an open arrangement in case anybody was wondering.
I know. plug it out, girl. Just plug it out.
Right there. Open.
All he needs is a couple words. he needs just a few words before we get to do it.
I love you.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
It's like, oh yes, daddy.
So when have you felt the most love then?
Like romantically?
Yeah, or you know, mm-hmm. when have you felt most loved?
Mm-hmm. That's a tough question. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, my boyfriend loves me a lot, so I guess when we first met, yeah, that's when I felt most loved. I don't know when thinking about my body, I think like the person who loves my body the most is probably me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like sometimes at night when I'm alone in bed, I sometimes feel a great amount of love there.
Mm.
Between the sheets. On my own.
Mr. Palm and his 5 sons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. Okay, so alright, we gotta wrap up. But
what?
We gotta make up.
What? It can be part A, part B.
Plus we've been talking for almost half an hour already.
We have.
Okay, so but here's the thing. If there's a, you know, someone out there, some young gay boy who's also struggling with body issues out there, someone who's listening, what would your advice be for him?
Oh dear. Oh, I wasn't prepared for that. what would my advice to a young...
Okay, easier question.
Yeah.
What would the advice to your younger JC self be?
Oh, okay. Find a body project that makes sense to you in terms of where you want to be in life. Does that make sense? It's like, I don't think you should reject exercise for the sake of it. I think there is value, for example, in moving your body. There is value to living a healthy lifestyle. So you shouldn't see exercise as a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't see exercise and a healthy diet as a sellout if it's in fact what you need in life to feel more alive in your body. But I think that's it. Also, try and find ways to be alive in your body and not and to reconnect with it. To think of your body as this thing that gets you through the world,
mm-hmm.
and that stores all your experiences, and it's not just something that is there to get sex, you know? Enjoy food, enjoy exercise, enjoy dancing,
mm-hmm.
all those things. So don't think of your body as an obstacle. It's not. It's like literally the only thing that gets you through the world. Yeah.
Cool.
Very good. Okay, so I think that wraps it up for part A of today's episode.
Yay.
Part B.
I know, I can't wait for part B. God. Tell us about part B. B for body.
B for body. So tomorrow, as I turn 32, and as I face down like my anxieties about my own body and getting a little bit older in life, we're actually going to the Jock Shop pool party of all places. And we're going to do a very short little segment there where we're just going to talk about body issues as we're surrounded by hot, young...
Muscle twinks.
In twangs.
Twangs.
Twangs. That's a new term. Twangs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Add to your vocabulary.
That's so stupid.
Sorry,
don't let me try.
Just take 2 words and swoosh them together.
Yeah,
there we go. So, we're going to go to the pool party. We're going to be surrounded by twangs.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about a little bit about ageism, a little bit about body issues. And there's going to be lots of drinks, so that hopefully will be a bit more entertaining.
Okay, girl. Once again, you've been listening to Queer Cars with me, Nick D.
Ian Lee, and our special guest.
And the
Emperor
Joelle.
Bye.
This episode of Queer Cars was possible thanks to the support of Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, Australia's only LGBTI radio station who hosts our podcast. Keep queer voices on air and on podcasts by becoming a member today at joy.org.au. We also have to thank our community collaborator, Uga Chaga, a non-profit counselling and personal development organisation for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and questioning individuals. They do incredible work for the community and you can help them continue their good work by donating. Visit www.ugachaga.com. Lastly, we want to say thank you to you, our listeners. And if you want to stay updated on new episodes or have an early sneak peek for future guests, follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Links to all our social media handles and our partners can be found in the description. Thanks, and we love you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.